Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network. Welcome to another fun-filled episode of Three Pints, Please. This week we're coming to you from Chinocton's on Key Street in Galway. Hector, would you do me a favour?
It would
be my honour to...
Would you go to the bar and order three pints of porter, please?
And tell them to hurry up, Hector.
Is it Kieran, is it?
I don't know what the man's name is.
Sorry, could I get three pints of stout, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Rita is...
dead.
Really?
Rita's dead.
What time did the plane arrive and all that jazz?
I feel... You know when you get off something that's moving, feel it's moving? And you still think
he hasn't changed.
He has never changed. Never changed. I arrived in this morning at 4:30 to Dublin Airport and got to Galway and had a sleep. And I'm worse now for sleeping than I was before I started.
Was it unfair to ask you to come in at?
It was unfair.
12:00 for a pint.
My alarm went off at 11:00, and I swear I could have. I could have been dumbstruck that it was that time.
Are you in another dimension?
You know what's wrong with me now is I'm roasted. I'm emotional.
Oh, lovely.
You're I'm jet
hot.
Lagged.
I'm jet lagged.
Sounds like you're perimenopausal.
Yes. Well, I wouldn't like to stay like this for a long time. So, and I don't know the point. The smell of it will probably pass me into another life.
Loretta, a week ago today, you said, I'll be grand on Tuesday, we'll fly in, I'll be down. But you're here, you're safe, you're back with us.
Lads, I just want to live in New York. I just think it's the best city in the world. It's just so full of life and crack. And
is there much difference between New York now and Ballina?
Well, the traffic, for one thing, is definitely pretty different. And... just maybe one or two more things to do than you would
what
be
was,
in Havana.
What did you love about it? What was the buzz?
It's endless. Like, the possibilities are just endless. Down in the Lower East Side in a comedy club, you know, you're in an Irish bar one minute, you're in an American tavern, you're just mixing with all sorts of different people, and I met some class people, and it's just brilliant. I just love it. I don't want to talk about anything.
What do you do
anything.
This week in Knockmore?
I just don't want to talk.
Are we a disappointment to you
now? I think
I've
added enough to the podcast now, so I'll let you chat amongst yourselves for the rest of it.
I saw some of the photos. You were giving great hugs to people.
I met an NBA, no, not an NBA, an NFL Hall of Famer on Sunday. Okay. He's about to be entered into the Hall of Fame. His son won 3 Super Bowl rings. This guy was massive. His hand was bigger than... He could literally put his hand around my head.
Was it Brian Cody?
Well, he was much bigger than Brian Cody. And I swear to God, if he was playing hurling,
Liam
he'd
Hayes.
Have no problem catching the ball.
I saw your photo. I didn't recognize
Jimmy Barry Murphy. Who was it, Larissa? What was his name?
Joe Klecko was his name.
Oh, yeah. One of the Kleckos.
From the Cincinnati Beavers.
You wouldn't know him, but he played for the New York Jets all his life. And he's about to... And he invited me in the beloved.
Wisconsin.
New York Jets. He invited me and my beloved to be his... with him at his Hall of Fame induction in Ohio, Cleveland.
Was he steam drunk?
No, he wasn't. And I sent a picture to my cousin, who is the bishop, and he's a big Jets fan, and he was absolutely blown away. that he was.
Oh, great!
In my company.
Oh, that's fantastic. Oh, thank you very much.
They look fantastic.
That's lovely.
Thank you so much. Thank
you.
We'll sort you out later. Thanks.
Thanks. I got to go to.
Or we'll sort.
There's a.
Here's
there's
your health.
Cheers.
Just can we have a look at the damage on that?
There's a big. Obviously, you'll know about this as well. The big bank crash that happened this week in Credit Suisse.
Is that the boys who were robbing the ATMs?
Or Switzerland? Calvin. Yeah. So these
with
boys.
The JCB. In the
yeah. Credit Suisse from Switzerland.
And Silicon Valley Bank.
They're gone. They went before Credit Suisse, but I got to go to Wall Street yesterday and go into the Goldman Sachs headquarters and sit up and watch the whole world unfold.
Unbelievable.
And just get all the insides of how banking works. And I didn't really understand a lot of it, but I pretended I was interested.
Anyway, good morning.
Good morning, BPO Economics. Look at
that. Shout out to everyone who, I met lots of podcast people in New York, most of them were Irish. While you're drinking, I'll say hello to Jerry Padian, who's a great New Yorker and listens to the podcast. He's brilliant. You didn't even split the G when you drank that.
Split the G. It's been a long time since I split the G.
I can't even drink this. I mean,
go on. Here we go. I've got a week in America issues.
Look at that. Oh, it's like chowder for the soul.
Oh, fuck. I said I'm going to be asleep again in half an hour.
Yeah. I saw photographs of you with Mr. Burns from The Simpsons.
Yes, I was with Mr. Burns from The Simpsons. I said to
Carruthers.
I said to Mr. President, I said,
and
excuse
you,
me, Mr. President, I said, can you step into my office for 1 minute? I said, you're coming to Ireland in a couple of weeks' time. And I said, there, I have a lot of jobs for you to do. I said, if you give me a week of your time, I said, I have everything that needs to be done in Mayo. I said, I have a lot of people that you need to meet, a lot of places that you need to go. And he was like,
is he loving it?
It'd be nice for your father to meet someone older than himself. That'd be the big buzz.
Yeah. I met my aunt yesterday.
How old is your father?
My dad's 87. Really? So he's older than
JB. Joe.
Yeah. Wow. My aunt, who's 94, met her yesterday out in New Jersey. And she said, come on, get into the car. I'll bring you for a spin. She's 94. She was driving flat out around the streets of Tenafly in New Jersey. Absolutely incredible woman. But so she's older also than.
Are you still? You're still on a travel buzz and a kind of excitement buzz. Does it feel a bit depressing to come home?
Not now, but it will be depressing tomorrow. Because what I did the last few days was just incredible.
What did you do?
It was brilliant to get to feel so important, like in the White House. It was just. Special.
Was it the same clamour of people who were there the year before?
Generally.
I saw Rob Carney in the middle of it.
What is Rob Carney doing every year? Cousins with the president as well, so he's on the other side of the Strand.
The Cooley Peninsula.
So we were all sitting beside each other, and then we had Niall Horan sing for the president.
Did he do a nice version?
Is he related to the bishop who got the airport in Knock?
Eamon Horan.
Father Horan. maybe.
Did he do a version of Spancil Hill?
He did.
Was it nice?
Yeah, it was lovely. It was really nice. It was, I mean, I don't think probably the president had no idea who Niall Horan was, but, I'd say it was probably the staff or the grandkids or someone that picked him. But, yeah, I thought
Shane
it was great.
Shane McGowan never get invited to that?
Shane McGowan? Yeah, he probably would if they knew him. But, they put me on the edge of the row, in the second row, and I, when he was walking past, he stopped with him and Leo were walking in like a newly married couple.
Leo's in there, in the middle of it.
And
Leo Radke here. Yeah. So, hi, Mr. President. Hi.
It's great.
He's got a thick double
neck. It's great. You're coming to Ireland.
There's a bowl of stuff.
Did Leo wear shorts?
Does he normally wear shorts?
Oh yeah.
and a string vest. No, he got dressed up for the occasion. Then they brought us into a little room to meet the president afterwards, the family, and
he was taken out of the cryogenic chamber. And
you better be careful, you're going over there in a few weeks' time. You better watch yourself.
Hello, Larita.
Tommy, he doesn't wear a sleep apnea mask like you.
Getting the digs in. Never criticise the family. It's got to be a male rule.
Was it better the second time? That's the second time.
I think the obviously the first time you're there, it's exciting and it's incredible and it's like nothing you could imagine. And then when you've been there a few times, it's
your sister came up as well, didn't she?
My sister came up from
Atlanta,
Georgia, and my brother and his wife came over from Mayo as well. So it was very much, it was great. It was brilliant. My brother was still flat out. He's almost got his head around what the plumbing supplies in the White House is like now. So he'll be designing bathrooms all over.
And would you be half tempted to move to New York?
Oh, I love it. I absolutely. It's the one place that I go back to time and time again that I love. I don't know. It's full of fun and like what it is. I mean, it never stops. Like, and it's just relentless in terms of socializing. So you would need to go and have a much more
structured
life. What
was the best pub you were in? Did you do pub crawls?
Not really pub crawls, because it's like you're in one area, you kind of stay in the pubs there, and then if you're kind of...
Did you go to kind of Sketch's place?
Yes, we were in there one night.
Did you shoot anybody?
The Westbury. They're not easy to get guns, you know, it's in New York. It's just, I tried to go into Walgreens and buy a gun, but if they have to do, they do background checks in New York and stuff. Someone told me, go to Texas or somewhere, it's a lot easier. You can just go into the shop.
Where did you watch
or
the rugby?
Or upstate in Connecticut and places like that, I believe guns are...
Would you love to just shoot someone in the leg? Like, not to kill them.
Just to give them a little...
Tell them to cop on.
Like a little cap gun or something in the back of
like
the cap.
Like, theoretically, can you... there are states where you can... there's a technical term for it, where you can have the gun on display.
Yeah.
What do they call it? Open...
Open gun
carry.
Policy
open carry.
Open carry or something like that. Yeah. But theoretically, could you walk around, like, with an Uzi?
I'm sure you can. Sure, I mean, what about that crazy young fella that walked down the street when there was protests going on with a load of like big guns and shot a load of them, and he didn't even get prosecuted for it. Like, he actually got off in prison. He got off his trial. He got found not guilty. He was walking down an open road with big Uzis and shot a load of people.
Yeah.
So there's parts of America that you can do things like that. I went to see a basketball match in the Madison Square Garden on Saturday as well. So I didn't watch the rugby. I missed the rugby because I was at the. But I mean, come on, the rugby was inevitable, wasn't it?
Unreal.
It just sounds like you had a big buzz of a time.
Unbelievable.
And how are the Irish people that you met over there? How are they getting on? Like, are they all thriving? And did you meet anybody who was kind of who it hadn't worked out for?
No, I haven't. And, you know, it's unbelievable how, the possibilities over there for them to, like, progress. And, you know, obviously they'd be here in a job and they'd be doing well and all that. But the money that you can make in jobs, the equivalent of it over there, is just like, I know you need it because you're paying state tax, the tax in New York for, like, you're renting an apartment that might cost you $3,000 a month. Then you've got to pay tax on that apartment as well.
Yeah.
Then you've got to pay all your bills. Like, I mean, it's insane.
And did you went to a comedy club?
I went to a comedy club, yeah.
Who was playing? Was Desi B there?
No, there was no Irish. They weren't Irish. Like, it was just like a little underground little club.
Yeah.
In the east, up in the Lower East Side, and there was quite a lot of women. Actually, there was two fellas that were there, and they were brilliant. And they just did like maybe 10 minutes.
Slots. Yeah.
But it was brilliant to sit in there, and you're right in on top of them.
Small little table, a few beers.
Yeah, and they brought us in and gave us a shot of Jameson because we were Irish. The owner, because we went in with a friend of his, brought us into the club, so. We got right up into
sounds
the
like the crack,
and it was
sounds like you had everything organized to a T.
Well, I didn't really have anything organized, and that was the great thing. There was obviously a few places, like I went to really high end places, and then really kind of down the seal places as well. So I saw all sides.
Did you end up walking the streets at 4 o'clock in the morning, disheveled, looking for a curry chip?
Fuck, do you know what the worst thing was? I got a train back from Washington to New York on the Friday after the St. Patrick's Day, and it was like. I'll tell you one thing about New Yorkers. They're the friendliest fucking people. The city is just so friendly. You get lost there, you get stuck there, they talk to you, they're super friendly, which is not something that you would pick up from Americans. You kind of think they're very
There's a good attitude in New York. What hotel did you stay in?
I stayed in a hotel called the Park Terrace right beside Bryant Park. It was a nice, handy little spot. Right off if
do you knew. Do you know New York at all, Hector?
I was in it once or twice, yeah.
But do you know what, like, would you know?
I wouldn't know what the park.
Would you know where to go if you're over there?
I'd know Fifth Avenue, I'd know where Plaza.
Trump Tower is.
I know where Tiffany's is, and I know where Central Park is.
But would you know what bars to go to?
No, I wouldn't. I'd be walking along. I'd just go into the first bar I'd see.
Next time, when you go over there, you should definitely stay down near Hell's Kitchen. That's a class place to stay, and that's where I'm going to stay
Soho,
next time.
Soho, Washington
the meat
Square.
District. I like this.
The Meatpacking District. Yeah, Hell's Kitchen, you know, they got that name because the Irish ones that arrived over, they were called the Westies, and they were like the real down-and-outs Irish people who moved to New York and they lived
Last
there.
Time I was over in New York, I had a night off, so I flew over, I was going to do some shows in a comedy club, and I had a night off, and I went into a bar that was covered in bras.
Oh yeah, hanging off the wall.
A bra bar. So you go in, and it's basically...
There's one of those
here we are
in
Nocton's, and there's posters on the wall of all great plays and arts festivals from over the years. But this place was, women would go in and start thinking, and they'd lave the bra up on the wall. So there's this, it was a kind of
a memento,
a wailing wall of brassieres.
Oh yeah, and that sounds good.
One of those bars where
hitting you in the face as you're walking past.
Every hour, it was a thing. If you ordered a shot, the barmaid would have a shot.
Get a shot with you.
Oh. So it was just kind of
it's brilliant. Now I'm telling you,
a bit flirty.
Yeah, loads of flirting going on. You've got to flirt, Tommy. I mean, come on, that's the whole point of it. You know, there's.
I just went in for a couple of pints, and next thing, taking off a bra and have a shot with me.
I give you a bra if you give me a drink.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people over there though. They're not happy with you because you've only two nights there, and you could have sold out another four or five nights
in
New York.
I'll be back.
Yeah,
in New York.
By the time they found out you were there, the fucking tickets were sold out. So I directed them all to go to DC.
I said, thank you.
Head on up to DC. So I've got some good contacts with you there. I met a great man from Kilkenny who runs a bar over there called the Hamilton in DC. So he's.
Are you going to do up a little kind of itinerary for me and bars to call to?
Yes, bars and people to meet.
Yeah, fuck people, Arita. Fuck people, it's bars I want.
Oh, bars, yeah, well, any amount of bars.
Was there a clatter of Mayo people in Manhattan?
Was there a Mayo jersey everywhere? No, I didn't see one Mayo jersey, but the great thing about being in Manhattan or being in New York in general, I mean, it's few and far between when you actually meet Irish people because there's how many million people in the city, so you wouldn't be walking down the street and... Well, the Beloved was walking down the street and a big tour bus of Irish people were like started roaring at him down Fifth Avenue. But apart from that, it was we didn't really see anyone really that we knew or that we ran into. We obviously had planned to meet people.
Like you've had an experience now. Myself and Hector have just been the same.
I got a bad sore throat. I got a bad sore throat on the Thursday. I was in a pair of pyjamas watching the Gold Cup Friday.
How did your horse your blood destiny?
Did he win anything?
Hang on. Whoa. So, for those of you who listened last week, we've got the tip of all tips. Oh, you have to get in this one. Blood Destiny.
Did he say each way? Five to four.
I don't know anything.
Five to two.
Did he say each way?
No, he just said that he's the one horse that'll do you for the week.
I was told
Blood
by
Destiny.
A man that the horse was working.
Oh, now here we go.
Working the gallop down. The horse finished ninth.
Out of?
Eight.
He finished ninth, Hector.
There was some very, very bitter... podcast listeners on social media. Is that horse still running? I don't know what happened. He must have. He was travelling well top of the hill and then he ran out of gas. He ran out of petrol and I was gutted. The only time in 3 years I've given one tip.
You must have heard the story about
the Blood Destiny.
The greyhound owner from Canvara who big race coming up and the bitch was running above in the Galway thing and he decided to put diesel on her clitoris.
Right.
He dipped the finger in the clitoris. Dip the finger in the diesel first, get it all soaking, and then he'd rub it on the bitch's clitoris. And then
what the fuck?
Right. He'd never done this before, but this was a big race. And right? So the dog out of the traps like a fucking
hot hole. Hot wheels.
And was doing fine until the last lap and then started to wobble. And the fellow who was watching the race said, maybe she ran out of petrol. So that was up to your one.
Blood Destiny. Blood Destiny ran out of gas at the top of the hill. I have never been so embarrassed about giving one tip in three fucking years. I had a couple of winners. Great festival, but Blood Destiny.
You kept your winners to yourself, did you?
Ran a shocker.
You just told everyone.
Hard
about
to get winners.
Did you? You had a few quid on Blood Destiny.
I had a few quid on.
How much? How much did you have on Blood Destiny?
I had a couple of hundred quid on it.
A couple of hundred quid.
And on the nose or each way?
And were you shouting at the television?
I was, yeah, but my voice, they say I had a bad throat. So I've been sort of quarantining for the last couple of days, but the rugby picked me up and I'm back at it now. But Cheltenham was amazing. It was an amazing week for Irish sport. You didn't see any of that, did you? Did you see? You watched a couple of races in Cheltenham.
Why did you not see it?
I was, because I'd be mad for Tipping Point. And
Tipping Point?
The chase.
I thought you were going to say Tipping Diesel.
And Judge Judy. Judge Judy. And A House in the Sun.
And not the catch and, or the chase, no?
Oh, I do love the chase.
Oh, I love, oh, the, love chase, the chase. Yeah.
I love the big one. They're all big.
And then he gets, and then he gets the news on TV3 at 5 o'clock. And then he'll switch over at 6
then
o'clock.
Yeah.
And then he'll go back for Nationwide
and then
at
7. And then he slags the President of the United States.
I've recorded every episode of The Angelus.
Just in case they run out.
The planner is full of all the different Angeluses. My favourite one is when the Nigerian lady is doing the cleaning in the big office block and she can't get out. And I do like the one with the fella that's feeding the swans in that loan. That's a nice one.
Can I ask you a question?
And there's another fella shaping bushes somewhere in Dublin. Oh, he's beautiful.
He stops.
He's just telling me that they changed the Angelus?
Oh, there's a few different.
They've revamped it.
Yeah. How often?
What?
How often would they do that?
I suppose they change it every week. I'd love to direct an episode of The Angelus. I would love to direct an episode of The Angelus.
I don't think you're going to get that.
What would you have? I'd have a.
What would be your selling?
I'd have a lad.
I'd have a finger going across a mat of clitoris.
A greyhound's clitoris.
A dom.
He'd be dipping dipping diesel on a horse's balls.
You'd have a lad dealing ganja on the side of a street. Go bong, and they just stop.
Oh, ganja, that is another thing, by the way, when
over?
You go to New York. Woo, I think I was
Amen.
High by association.
Is it legal?
Yes.
Yeah, it's legal to have your own possession. In New York now. It's whoo, like it's stinking. It's
no
stinking.
Wonder
the city
no wonder
stinks.
The vibe is good in New York.
The
everyone's
city
happy.
Stinks.
Where can you buy it?
Everywhere. It's on every street. I presume it's supposed to be for medicinal purposes,
yeah,
but
dispensaries.
There are dispensaries everywhere.
100%.
Oh, it's stinking. And what was killing me was there's lads going around in like suits, looking like they're about to, you know, go and do a big meeting, and they're smoking the biggest doopy you've seen walking down the street on the phone, all business. And you're thinking,
and would it stop you from doing your work?
I don't know. Would
I don't
it?
Think so.
H might know more than me.
I don't think so.
Would it not make
no,
you pure
there are
relaxed?
People that love relaxing. People love smoking. Some people love a joint in the morning before they go to work, a joint in the evening before they go to bed.
No, what if you were getting...
This has to happen. It's
so it wouldn't stop you from doing your work?
Not in the slightest. Depends on the strand you're getting. Depends on the strength of it. When you go into them dispensaries that are all over the 42 states that have now legalized or something, you can ask them. They're pre-rolled. They sell the ganja in small boxes as well. But you can tell them what you want. I want to spend an evening watching Netflix. I want to go right down to the basement and
they give you an iPad.
They bring you into a room in the back and
they
sell
you television. Here's a subscription.
Here's a one-hour subscription.
They've all. You can ask these budologists.
Oh yeah.
What you wear? Are you going out? Do you want to feel giddy? Are you going to a dinner party? Do you want to get the giggles?
Are you going to work?
Yeah. Are you going to work? Do you want to be?
I want to forget about my traumatic childhood.
What else?
Yeah, that as well. That's in the basement.
We could have one for the Angelus, just with lagging up for the football and just stopping before he calls the mark.
It's the smell of it is rancid, I think.
Oh, not at all.
Oh, I hate
the sweet smell of ganja.
Can you imagine if here it was legal in certain counties?
Oh, yeah, well,
the way
sure
it is in states in America.
Yes. Saying,
ganja, the first county to make it legal.
I bet you it'll be Meath.
No,
we wouldn't.
No. The first county to make it legal, I would say Leitrim. Leitrim is stuffed with hippies
and
fuck
glens.
All to do.
And up in the mountains and the hills.
Yeah.
Those little loud Leitrim Carlo. You know, Mike Tyson has bought a ranch just outside Los Angeles in the sand.
I thought you were going to say outside Carlo.
He bought 5,000 acres in the Coachella Valley, which is an hour out where they have the festival and all the golf and all that, near Palm Springs. And he's starting his Tyson Entertainment Ranch.
Wow. What's he going to do
nightclubs,
there? Like, is it going to be
hotels,
like
hotels, boxing? It's a place where people can go and you can buy your ganja. He has his own strand of ganja now. He's grown hundreds of acres and people can go 5-star hotels, all this crack. It's an entertainment.
So what's it like, Never Neverland?
It's Las Vegas.
Oh, is it like the Plaza in Kinnegad?
It's going to be...
People can stop and get their dinner
Tyson,
on a Sunday afternoon.
But it's going to be called Tyson Ranch and it's just a world of debauchery. It's like a Las Vegas, but ganja is at the helm, not alcohol.
So Irish people don't kind of do that.
Do what?
Do that kind of celebrity
buy ranches
or whatever. I can't
think. You could buy a ranch out in Barna.
Imagine,
and what would you
down
do
by
on
the
it?
Horse and Jockey, 400 acres, and just a place where ganja grows freely. People can come, and you could have comedy bars.
Irish people buy bars.
Yeah, everywhere, all over the world. Yeah,
yeah. So what's the story with your man Connor Sketch's bar? What's that?
Yeah, it's called the Westbury.
Westbury.
It's a like real happening spot, and he is over there, over and back a bit. Like he was there
what
last.
What goes through someone's brain to
be a partner to in a pub? I don't know.
In New York,
I think he was living in Florida for a couple of years.
He's big over there now with his with the golf channel and having his own channel on. What is it?
Golf Channel.
Yeah, Golf Channel. He's big with Formula One as well. Yeah. He's travelling quite a lot.
I think he had a few mates that had bars in New York, and I think he got involved as a bit of a name on the front.
Would you like to get involved in a bar?
No, I'm at the stage now where I want...
More like a convent or something, you'd be better off. Or a retirement home.
There's a lovely convent.
I would love at some stage in my life not to own anything.
And how would that work? You'd be like Chuck Feeney, living and give away all your money. Chuck Feeney, you know who Chuck Feeney was, the greatest philanthropist of all time. Lived in a tiny apartment, didn't own anything.
Not even the apartment?
No, gave away all his money.
Gave away billions.
Every single penny of it, and lived till he was an old man, but never ever had anything, and made millions, like millions and millions and millions, and like he just didn't. He had one pair of shoes at all time. He never had anything. He never had a car. He never had anything, and like he was worth billions, and he just gave it all away.
He gave it all away, but he wasn't
in a philanthropy. Like Chuck Feeney was. He set himself up as a philanthropist, so he had like a foundation as such.
Yeah,
so.
But he wasn't. He said he gave away everything, but he wasn't. When he woke up in the morning, he wasn't worried where he was going to get breakfast.
He probably had a coffee. He
didn't have anything. Like he actually didn't even, as you said, he didn't own his apartment. Read up about him. He's a fascinating.
So, where did he get his breakfast?
Like
I'm sure he had a bit of money left over.
Like he might have had an allowance.
He was into philanthropy when nobody was into philanthropy. He was one of the first great philanthropists.
But like it's fascinating. It's a fascinating. His life is fascinating, and the way obviously he made money for a long time and was working and all of that. But I'm saying when he retired,
I'd love to own. I would love to, at some stage in my life, to own nothing. I those Indian lads who, when the family is reared, now they have the weather for it in India. The family is reared. The kids are now having their kids, and the father, and I'm not sure about the mother or if it's part of the mother's inclination, but the father has cultural permission to fuck off into the wilderness walking, owning nothing.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
So that's your aspirations are.
I would love to be able to do that. I would love to be able to, at some stage, just...
to wander.
Just to go and kind of go, okay, all my obligations have been met. This thing about leaving money to your children when you die. Don't you ever fuck off.
Yeah.
I'll give you what's in my pockets now. Do you know what
bit
I mean?
Bit of loose change, yeah.
And I just, and I'd love for the missus to come with me strolling, but I'm not sure she would find it as romantic and ideal as I would. But just to be able to own nothing. I'd love that, to own nothing. And just to have...
But you'd have to have something to go from place to place, Tommy.
Yes, you'd have a pair of shoes.
One pair of shoes.
A lovely pair of tweed
this
trousers.
This sounds romantically brilliant, but Tommy...
A tweed waistcoat.
Would you have to...
A stick. And then what I'd do is I'd see myself just walking.
And 4 credit cards.
And walk.
And 4 credit cards. Please tell me.
No.
This doesn't work, Tommy.
And in Ireland, there's a town every 10 miles. There's a town every... Every 3 hours walking, there's a town.
This sounds like an Irish version of The Last of Us.
Or
walking through the
Kung Fu. Remember him? Kung Fu break your
David
neck.
Carradine.
And then he'd walk off into the Incredible Hulk.
So what would you do when you get to a town and you've not a penny in your pocket? You and your missus would stroll in the robes and the sticks. And we'd go,
The missus would sing. She does a great version.
There
of
you go now. So
the missus
right.
would sing.
You'd have you'd to find, raise money. She's a beautiful voice. You'd have to raise money to buy stuff.
This the missus is her debut album is out now at the minute. The Rains. It's called Reverie.
Yes.
Available.
Oh,
from
what's it called?
He segues this in every fucking
what's
week.
It called?
It's called Reverie. Oh,
yeah. Reverie.
And
Reverie.
It's on in all
it's
decent
out.
Record shops.
Okay.
TheRains.com
and online.
So the missus could sing, and then I would I'd either beg or would tell stories.
You could. Why don't you imagine?
If I barreled into Galway, right, and I had no money. And I'd go up to her. Like, I met this fella in Dublin, and he says to me, and Dublin still has these bars. He's talking about Donoghue's Bar in Galway, in Dublin. And he said, there's this pal of his, he's on the dole, and what he does is he traipses up to a bar every night, and he plays fiddle, and they fill him with porter. The dole goes towards the rent and the food, and then he just plays music, and he gets his fill of porter every evening, and that's his life.
Yes.
So I wonder,
could I do that in a kind of a story? I'd barrel into Galway.
You could tell stories in the back of a Wonderly wagon and stuff.
No, you just come in and I'd say to the bar, look, I'll do a show for you here this evening.
I think that's a nice idea.
People would say, oh, stop, you're...
You're right.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Larissa.
Yeah, I think they'd say...
No, I like...
Why are you talking?
I can see now, for me, it was the basis of how would you make a
couple
of money.
The music I can get.
Yes.
But the talking...
Everyone's talking anyway. Not everybody can play the fiddle.
Exactly. They don't come to the pub to listen to someone else talking.
No, you're right.
But hang on a second. Yeah. If it's a good story, isn't that what you want?
No,
once upon
a
time,
a town hall,
there was 5 brothers in a farmhouse in Fermoy.
A Shanachie.
I want to hear that.
So, there's a friend of mine, Martin Shaw, the storyteller, he was on the chat show.
Yes.
He's about to head off to do a tour of Canada, and I was talking to him yesterday. He's doing 16 shows, you call them shows, over 17 days from Nova Scotia to Vancouver.
Oh.
Right? And I says, what will be the shape of it? And he says to me, I have 25 stories in my pocket. 25 big, long, complicated, delicious, enchanting, mysterious, funny,
keep going,
enlightening,
keep going,
mischievous,
majestic
stories,
magical.
28 of them in my back pocket.
Wow.
And I'll stroll out each evening
and tell one.
And I will just go with whatever the moment suggests in terms of which story to tell.
I like that.
And I would love that. And then he was telling me about, he remembers being a kid and watching Billy Connolly, and Billy Connolly was touring around New Zealand, and Billy Connolly was turning to the camera before the show. He would say he was live in Auckland or Wellington or Christchurch or Dunedin or Tauranga or one of them places. Anyways.
You're practicing it already. You're ready to go.
And he said, Billy Connolly would say, I have half a notion of what I'm going to do tonight, but not the full notion.
Right.
So he'd go out with 33% of the stories in his head.
Only 33.
And the 66 would come to him when he's in front of the crowd. Isn't that the life?
Yeah.
Isn't that the fucking life?
That's the life, yeah. But you can do that now.
Well, I've noticed with myself recently is that I've been reduced to a set. Does that make sense?
Though?
I've been reduced to...
Get in, get out.
The same stories.
That's called a tour.
Yeah, I need to get the looseness back into myself. But anyway.
But you'll do that when you go away.
That's my romantic notion of myself. On the road, like Kung Fu. And just
with a knapsack on your back.
With a knapsack on my back and a pair
of Birkenstocks.
And the toes out and the big woolly socks underneath.
And every now and again, maybe the missus wouldn't be into it.
She could join you once a week, maybe.
The missus would fly in and join.
She'd drive up to me every 6 or 7 days
with sandwiches
with the warm blankets.
She won't come next night or near him if he's out walking
beneath an oak tree near Port Leash.
Oh, can you imagine?
In the middle of a
making love to my sweet woman while in the background I hear the distant bleating of sheep.
I'm telling you,
in a barley field in Belliver,
you're turning into a food store.
I
hang on, where would you wash yourself?
By the river.
In the rivers.
Oh, go away. Oh, will you go away? You'd be
into the ocean or...
There'd be old algae in the river then. You'd probably have a big rash in your face.
Put your face into me neck, Louisa, and you'd say, that man smells of wells.
Holy wells.
He smells of holy wells.
I did the whole of The Last of Us over the weekend.
You're a great man
from
start
the zombies
to finish. And I think it's based on the time the Cryptosporidium broke in Galway. It was a bad old
dose.
Remember when the Cryptosporidium broke in Galway about 15 years
ago? Were
they? Cryptosporidium.
They were like the big geraniums.
Yeah, they were.
They don't care. And here's a support act, it's Cryptosporidium.
They were a punk band from Galway, from the Claddagh. They were brilliant.
Yes, I remember that.
But I think it's a fungus that grows inside people. And your man is flavour of the month, who was on Narcos. What's his name? He's from...
I watched
Jamie Oliver.
No. The actor who plays the lead actor in it,
and Barry Keoghan.
Hector, no. You just watched it for a whole
who
the
then?
Whole
yeah,
time.
Man, Jesse Buckley.
No, he's
Jesse Buckley.
He's good looking.
Marty
Jimmy
Ray.
Buckley.
No, guys, he was in Narcos. He played the cop in Narcos. He's got the mustache and he's flavored.
Oh, Tom Selleck.
Tom Selleck's
Tommy,
grandson.
What's his name? He's a brilliant
Tommy,
actor.
What's his name? I've just watched it. Oh,
Tom.
No.
Riding Pamela Flood.
No.
Who's Pamela Flood?
Who's Pamela? She used to work on TV3.
So
who am I thinking of?
I have no Pamela Anderson.
Pamela Anderson.
Tommy Lee Jones.
That's
Curtis.
It's
Tommy Lee.
It's well worth a watch. I
watched a bit
of it,
Hector, but when I saw the granny
that.
Coming out of the fucking out of the fridge and I was like, that's not for me.
I gave the whole lot of watch over the weekend and that was it. So the Last of Us. It's post epochic. Apocalyptic, dystopian,
oh,
wasteland.
Dystopian, yeah. We may not get that checked out every now and again. They're dystopias.
Bad old dystopian. Anyway.
Yes. I have a wandering dystopia.
Well, fortunately, Loretta,
so
I can't welcome home.
This, I'm telling you, lads, I need you to meet this NFL man. Like, imagine his son has won three. Three Super Bowls.
No,
New England Patriots.
My eldest boy loves the NFL. We're watching the combine.
This guy was in movies with Burt Reynolds and like.
It's not interesting, Loretta.
It is interesting.
No, it's not.
Oh, well, what about when you're. I was just sitting there having lunch with him. I was thinking, right, he's nearly 70, this man, right? Mm. So in
a year, he'll be 71.
In 20 years' time, somebody could be sitting at a table having dinner with Tom Brady and going, oh my God, like he was a superstar when he played NFL. Like this guy was a superstar.
Do you know what I like about the NFL? It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. We were watching the combines this week from the next crop of university students on YouTube. We were watching them doing their 20-second sprint, 50-second, doing their throws, doing their jump, pumping iron.
You have
to
too much free time.
There's a young fella from Kerry who's a punter now with the Georgia State. Yeah,
my sister
met him the other day. Lovely young fella.
Tell me this.
Podcast.
What is Joe Biden going to be doing when he comes to Ballinara?
Well, I told him, could I take care of his itinerary? And he told me I'd be the first to know when he gets there, when he's coming. But he said to me, and I shouldn't say this in the podcast, I'll say it anyway and probably get killed for it.
When you say killed, do you mean taken out by the
CIA?
Yeah.
He's not sure he's going to actually, even though Mayo has gone into a frenzy. And you know Donny, the lad that's on CNN? You know Donny became famous?
Yeah, Donny Buckley.
No, Donny O'Sullivan, who was
Donny
on
O'Sullivan,
CNN.
Yes.
So he rang me the other day. He's coming to Ballina this week to do
a preview
coming to, you know, for Joe Biden. But the president said to me, Loretta, I'm not actually sure I'm going to be able to come because China are causing serious problems in the world right now. I don't know if you have noticed.
One of the great bands of the 80s.
China.
China Crisis.
China Crisis. Well, there's another crisis at China. So I'm not sure he's...
China Crisis.
Tears for Fears.
No.
China Crisis. Ultravox.
Yeah.
China
Crisis song.
If you sing it, I'll join in.
China.
No, that's the name of the band.
I know. I'm trying to...
China Crisis.
No,
of
the name
course.
Of the band.
I was joking.
Anyway.
So I'm not sure he's even coming. His team have come and done a full recce of Mayo and Dublin and Belfast and all of that. But I need him to do loads of jobs when he comes. I want him to meet people. I want him to go to the hospice. I want him to go to visit the Knockmore GA Club. I want him to...
Were you there's a photograph of you and the president together, and
I didn't share any photographs.
No, just you sent it to me and Hector.
Oh yeah.
Were you steamed?
No.
You looked steamed.
I was steamed.
Were you half?
But I might have been hungover from the day before. I was actually very hungover from the night before. I wasn't steamed.
No.
No, I was definitely not steamed.
You had a bit of a happy head in you.
She just looked. You looked like you were in your element.
Yeah.
Of course, I was in my element. I mean, like, why would you not
be
in your
element? Were you smoking a bit of Shamrock?
I wasn't doing anything. I was eating Shamrock ice creams. You'll know the president loves ice cream, what so they had Shamrock ice creams in the White House.
It's probably easy for him to swallow, probably, at that age.
Oh, Hector, by the way, we need to go to Dublin. I want to invite you to come to Dublin with me as my guest to visit a residence up there. And maybe next week we could do the
is
podcast
this the
from there.
The US ambassador's residence?
Yeah, well, can we go there and do the podcast from there next week?
Now, what does that mean, practically speaking?
I don't know. It just means that. It's important, and if you need to...
Oh, sorry, it's what? It's important.
Yeah, it's important, and if you ever need a visa... Have you got your visa to go to the States yet?
This is a question that came up recently. Was I telling you about this?
No.
So, as you know, I went to Somalia last year.
You're not allowed to go. Oh, my God, that's on the box
on
for
the
your
list.
Esther. On the have you visited the Yemen, blah, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah.
Yeah, so somebody I know went to... had been to Somalia to do some work in some of the food camps. So basically going there to help save people's lives.
Yeah.
And then was prevented from going into America because it said Somalia on their passport.
You're not going to be able to go, you know. I saw people in front of me the other day as I was going through, been taken off into a room.
Yeah.
But
are they that daft in customs that they would kind of go to you?
They don't care. It's America.
It's done
Americans
by that. Your
do
visa,
not care
your,
about...
It's in visas.
America is America. It's a unique place. They don't give a fuck.
Yeah, I think they're a bit OTT on it.
Well, they can be
it took Roscoe nearly 4 months of hardship to get it. He got it 2 days before he flew.
They will put you through the absolute ringer for that.
So they'll see Somalia on the passport.
Yeah, yes. You'll have to declare it.
And they'll say, what were you doing there? And I'll say, I was over with a third world.
You'll be grilled.
And do you look trustworthy?
Well, do I look like a fucking Islamic terrorist?
Yeah, you do.
Excuse me?
You do.
You look like somebody who could be harbouring information. You look like somebody who's
he'll arrive in,
alternatively
I look like somebody out of a fucking druid show.
Look like one of those university professors that has a little few contacts in a lot of places.
He'll have a white sheet on him and a pair of sandals. You can't go up to
seriously,
immigration.
Tommy.
You're not going to be able to go,
He's not going to be able to go.
They will hold this against you for the next 10 years. Never mind now.
Yeah, so
this is a 10-year thing.
So hang on, Rita. Hang on. So you're saying that this tour...
So I'll ask the question again.
That is,
do you want to go to the embassy tomorrow next week?
Hector von Neumann.
When he goes around the door of the embassy.
This tour that is more or less sold out in the States... You reckon I'm going to arrive at Shannon Airport and they say you're not traveling.
You will be in Dublin and you will be grilled.
Oh, that's good that you're going from Shannon. That's one good
thing. Hang on a second. Have you got the visa? Have you been accepted by the visa yet?
Have you put your
is it a working visa or is it a holiday visa?
I'm an alien of extraordinary talent. That's what they phrase it as.
That, yes, they do.
You should say you were in Somalia doing the exact same work that you're
doing. I was there to see the fucking starvation, the famine.
Oh, no, that's not going to work.
You won't get it.
No,
it'll be
work.
Trip to Dublin.
So you're suggesting what, Larita?
I'm suggesting you just cancel that tour now.
So does this in any way have anything to do with visiting the American ambassador?
No, but it might help. It might help if we go up there next week. I'm afraid, Tommy, that's not going to be good. I mean, I met a guy last year going through immigration and he was hauled into a room. So you do the thing where they say, stand in front of us, they scan your eyes.
They scan your eyes.
Fingerprints.
They're not going to be able to read me thoughts. I'll never get in then.
Yeah. Well, then you're in trouble. They scan your eyes to take your fingerprints on both hands. They're not for crack at all. I was like, oh, my fingerprints aren't working. And they were like, ma'am, put them on stronger. And then they took him into a room. They kept him for 40 minutes. And we met him afterwards and he had got out. But he said the reason that he said like almost 10 years ago, he was there on a J1 visa. He got a really bad tooth infection, wasn't able to fly, had stayed over his visa time. And for the next 10 years, anytime he's been to the States, they interrogate him and they absolutely grill him. And he one time didn't get through, the second time and the last time he did get through. So I'd be careful now if I was you.
Yeah, but I know also that there's a thing with phones now. where if you touch phones off together, you can share contacts. And I know that if you wanted to, you could give me Joe Biden's phone number and they'd haul me in and I'd say, 1 second, please.
I just don't think he...
His picture's over the wall. Over
I don't think he deserves a favour the way he treats Joe.
Exactly. And don't forget they'll be listening to this.
My personal opinion is that he is the greatest president.
somewhere is somebody in a bunker listening.
Oh, he'll remember now, will he? He remembers who you...
You're a big Biden fan.
Oh, I love America. I love all it stands for.
Well, you should have thought about that before you went to Somalia. You'll have to go to Somalia and do a gig.
That's shocking. But
I was thinking about that the other day when I was filling out the form, and it's like, you know, have you visited? I don't actually think Somalia is written on it, though, is it? The Yemen's on it.
No, this person got stopped because there's a big...
Have you people working on this?
It doesn't matter. About it. American.
You cannot just rock up to Shannon and just go, hey,
we don't care about you.
So, my curiosity is the guards, or whatever they're called, who work security, or immigration officers, they live in Ireland.
Yeah.
So are they not somehow infected by
Are they hell?
No, it doesn't work like that. There's no, Tommy, how's it going? Like, it doesn't work like that anymore with them.
I'll tell you what happened. When I went over, I went on the campaign trail with Biden in whatever it was, 2020, right? And I was flying to Vegas to go on the trip. And I went through immigration and they said to me, what's the purpose of your trip, ma'am? And I said, pure excitedly, I'm going to work on the Biden campaign. And they said, you want to work on it? And I went, well, no, like, not work like, but I said, I'm going to experience what it's like. They made me go through every single correspondence that I'd had with his team about going there. Thankfully, his team had specifically written an email that I was not going to be paid for the position and it was just an experience and that they weren't paying for my accommodation. I had to show them all of my... the hotel that I booked.
Yes.
Place they want to know how much money was in my bank account.
What?
Yeah. And they ask you all of this stuff. And if you're in any way... And I was like, I'm cousins with them. And I'm good. And they were like, I don't care, ma'am.
I have Larry Mullen's phone number. Would that help me get
that
in?
Good.
Maybe Joe Biden's might, but... now that his picture's
should
over
the head...
Should
they not be a little more relaxative about it?
They're not relaxed. They don't relax.
Lackadaisical.
They don't relax about anything in America, not when it comes to stuff like that. They just don't mess around.
But they would know. Their intelligence, they would know.
It doesn't matter about intelligence. They're not going to do intelligence on you.
No, but they're intelligent people. They would know, okay, this guy's gone with Trocra. He's a stand-up tour booked. Yeah, he's not a threat.
Do you know what, get a letter.
They don't look at it.
Here, wait till you hear the best. I forgot to tell you this. I was going into the White House on Friday, right? And everyone's going through. You have to give your passport and you've already filled out a form to say, you know, So the next thing, I stupidly filled out the form, but I put my surname into my first name and my first name into my surname. So the Secret Service had done a full search on me back to front, like my name.
Not physical.
No, not they didn't do a physical search on me, back but they front. they did a Blewett Larita search as opposed to Larita Blewett search.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to sit down, wait for this guy from Secret Service to come out, ask me a load of questions. I was like, I've been here like a load of times, you know all my details. I said, like, I'm the president's cousin, and they were like, okay, ma'am. Next thing, had to make a call into the president to speak to him to get me okay to get in, and then this guy escorts me in, right, because then they do the airport check on you, escorts me in and says, you know, really seriously, ma'am, if there's any issues with you, will we continue? We have to do the search on you now, now we know the name change. He says, we've got to do a search on you. We know exactly where you're sitting in the room. We'll come in and take you out at any moment, so beware. And I was like, okay, Jesus, relax, lads. Like, it's so...
I just want to let any Tommy Tiernan fans in America know that there is the outside
coming.
Possibility that this tour will be... relocated to Cuba and it'll be 5 nights in Havana.
Cinco noches.
With El Diablo. And that has been 3 pints from Nocton's. If you'd like to listen to 3 more pints from Nocton's, which we're going to have now, please head over to the members only arena. God bless, good luck, and thanks for listening. Thank you.
when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.